Right now it is time for Appraise This, the Frickin' Track of Nick and Knack. Join us today from Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com on the web. And we say good morning to Greg. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. You are correct. I'm flying solo today. Tim is in Phoenix, so it's 3 hours earlier there.
That's almost like torture to make somebody get up in Phoenix. 3 hours. Like if it were Las Vegas, you could understand they're probably still awake. But in Phoenix, I don't think so.
Yeah, he'll be there all week, and then he's back, and then we end up going the next time in the first week of February. He has to go back. The Genesis Electrify.
What was that there again? Hang on a second here. I've got what happened here? Once again, it split out on me. Here we go. We'll see if we can bring him back here. You there?
Oh, here we go. You're cutting out.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened there, but whatever happened, it's over with. So.
But yeah, I have a 96-year-old aunt. She's the only surviving member of my mom's a family of 11 kids. And so I have to go out and see her. She's going to be 97 this year, and she's still very much with it. And she's she's just an absolute delight. So I can't wait to see her. I haven't seen her for a year and a half. So I'm looking forward to traveling with Tim this time out when we go out to Arizona.
All right. We'll start off with, this is an interesting story if you love automobiles. There was a muscle car, basically almost the thing that legends are made of and myths are made of. And that was a 1970 Dodge Challenger RT. It was owned by a Detroit police officer. He was a decorated U.S. Army veteran. He used to use it for illegal street racing. At the same time, but he kept a low profile. But this car became known as the Black Ghost because it used to win so much. And anyway, so it disappeared from the scene unbeknownst to everybody. But in 2014, he let his son in on the story about the car that he used to drag race as a boy. A year later, the guy died from prostate cancer. And he left the car to his son. Well, guess what? It's coming up for auction. And like I said, this is not...
such a surprise.
But this is what the interesting thing about this car, it's not like a worldwide collector's car. It was kept in this... It was a secret so the guy wouldn't lose his job. And it's pretty amazing. So it's going to go across the auction block. And in Indianapolis, and they're thinking that's going to bring in very, very big bucks. He originally purchased the car for $5,200. Okay,
isn't that something?
But then he, of course, put more money into it to work it and everything like that. But still, it's an interesting story because this is not a world famous sports car or a production car, and they really think that this street racer will bring in a historic amount of money. It's amazing when you look at it. What a story.
Well, the I actually just pulled it up. I don't know why I have heard of the Black Ghost. I really don't know. Maybe it's just sometimes because we've done some car collections, and maybe just in passing, it's one of those things that kind of sticks in your head, and you never know where it comes from until later. But yeah, it's a really cool looking car. And it's going up for auction. Is it at Mecum?
It's in Indianapolis. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah. So, and it looks like it's in pristine condition. So I'm not sure how much it was driven or how much of it's original, but I think they're estimating it to sell somewhere, a million or little, I would say somewhere probably between 701.5. That's what I'm going to estimate it. That's what I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for. What do you think it could sell for?
You know, I'm going to say anywhere between $150,000 and $300,000. I don't think it'll get any more than that.
You don't think so? I don't know. I mean,
it's kind of
hard to tell if you look at it how original it is. I think that. I think part of the allure is the fact that it's been a ghost for so long.
Well, the part of the allure is that it was a cop who didn't want to get caught drag racing, and so he kept it a secret, and then he won everything he basically was in, so the car got a nickname, and then years later, after he passes away, all of a sudden, the car comes out of nowhere. I mean, the story is worth more probably than the car, but you put the two together, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that story, along with the car, and it's authentic. That'll be the thing that just that pushes it up and jumps it up.
Well, that sort of provenance, first of all, along with the story. It's definitely a driver, no pun intended, of what it could sell for, I think, because it's been kind of a myth, mythological status all these years, and it is a great story. So, and this the policeman took this story to his grave with him, so and never got caught. So, it'll be interesting to see. I have to find out when the auction is because I have to bookmark that because I want to make sure that I don't miss it. Wow. When is it coming up here? It's coming up. Yes, it isn't Necom. And let's see. I can't see where it says here where it's coming up, but it's coming up. It is coming up soon, I think.
Well, I'm going to Google Indianapolis ghost car auction and see when it comes up because I'm going to be interested in it too. Because, like I said, it's not your typical car that goes on auction, and it could open up another wave of different thing of something else. So,
yeah. Cars. I don't know. Have you noticed a spike in over the past 6 to 9 months at car auctions for some of these muscle cars? It's been quite remarkable.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, they're nowhere near the specialty race cars and everything, but their value now has eclipsed regular golden oldie cars. Okay, cars that were from the 40s and 50s and 60s. They're in a different class by themselves now, the muscle cars. You're right, because they bring such different money in.
Well, I think also it has to do with the demographic of the buyers now, because the muscle cars are now in what is the current gen what gen X Y Z double A? I don't know.
Well, the muscle cars would appeal to someone basically in, I'll say, 55 to 75, my age range.
Yeah, my age group as well. And so the thing is now they're getting to a point where you have to have the wherewithal to purchase them, because there was a time maybe 10 years ago when they didn't bring as much and the average Joe like us might have a fighting chance. Now, I'm afraid I wouldn't have a fighting chance.
No.
Not at these prices. No.
No, all right. Now, I haven't watched this show in a long time, American Pickers. Have you guys ever watched it?
Yeah, I confess, I occasionally watch it just to see what's going on. But not all that often. I used to watch it at the very beginning, but then it just got extremely predictable, and that it just became almost like to me a rehearsed television show.
And then the one host became an alcoholic, had a breakdown, and left the show, left Mike Wolff as the main character once again in that show. You're right. I used to watch it. I did watch it, but then it just It did. It lost it for me. I don't know why, but it lost it for me. But this guy, Mike Wolf, who, and I know he always loved motorcycles, always. So he is going to start auctioning off some of the motorcycles that he's actually collected over the past 20, 25 years. And he has historic bikes.
I know he has to, because I've seen some of those shows where they go in. A lot of the smaller stuff, it's kind of bupkis, but they always used to go for any of the mechanical stuff, like really big. And I often wondered if they ever sold it prior to having it restored and then selling it, or if how many of them he kept for his collection.
Well, that's the great thing about it. Some of the real classic antique ones, he didn't restore. He left them the same. They were there as he got them running, and he left them the way, and he left them in that status because, of course, there's a market of buyers that like that. And there were other bikes that he did restore. But this is the world's largest motorcycle auction that's coming up at the end of January. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he does this, coming up in Las Vegas, the 24th through the 28th.
Wow, Las Vegas. That's the ultimate muscle car and motorcycle sales venue, I think. Yeah. I mean, all the big sales happen in Las Vegas. So, yeah, that'll be a fun one to watch. I'll have to mark that one because we have, besides you, we have another friend who I don't know if we talked to you about him. He gets vintage cars, Mercedes, and you know, some of the higher end cars, and he trades them back and forth, and he actually gets them, tries to restore them with original parts, and he has a nice business going here, and so he's all we. I whenever I get these notices, I always forward them to Gio because he really is into it, and he has his own car collection, which is quite amazing. So it's the auction that's coming up for the motorcycles. I don't know how they are up there, but down here in South Florida, it's like on every street corner there's like another motorcycle shop. We have one of the largest Harley Davidson distributorships in South Florida, right up here in Stewart.
Now, remember we were talking about Elvis Presley's dilapidated jet?
Yes.
Going up for auction? Well, it sold for $260,000.
Peanuts. Peanuts.
Well, what's interesting about it, it really was, it was at Meekum's Kiss Me show, okay? And they sold it on his on what would have been his 88th birthday. I mean, it really was. It was just run down. It was. I mean, it needs so much work. But still, I think if the person who bought it obviously has money, puts it into and restores it, I think he'll double his money out of it.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. But, you know. In a way, it might have saved, well, and I don't want to say saved, that's kind of the wrong choice of words, but the fact that it's been sitting in the desert for all those years with there's no humidity or anything, so I mean, it doesn't look like there was a tremendous amount of rust, or, I mean, if you look at it, it's a pretty sad looking thing sitting out there in the desert all by itself, but I mean, I can't imagine how much it would cost to bring it back to, especially if you want to fly it. I mean, I don't know. I'd be a little leery about getting on a jet that's been restored.
Yeah, I think he's counting on that some Elvis lover will see it, and if they happen to be wealthy, for him to double his money and make like $500,000 or $600,000, I actually think that he got it for such what I think a bargain price, I think he'll actually make money on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, it is, like I said, it's a pittance compared to what it's possible value is, and also how it's restored. It's going to have to take somebody who specializes in either refitting jets, private jets, and all of this stuff that is going to go into making. I can't imagine though that he's not going to at least try to get the engines running and get it to fly to either, you know, at least to turn on or something. I don't know if it'll ever fly again, but I mean, it would be. Can you imagine going to an air show and then then all of a sudden seeing Elvis's plane come in to land and he's in the building again?
Well, you know, that's another thing. He might very well do that and charge people to walk through the jet. I mean, that's another thing. And of course, he'd have a ton of people that would do that.
Yeah. I have to say, I was fortunate enough to actually go through it when it was still in... what's this place there
Graceland
in Memphis?
Memphis. Well, it's like I said, there's a lot of crushed velvet in there. So,
yeah. Oh, it looks like a whorehouse. I'm sorry.
It does. A lot of crushed velvet in there, but it was still Elvis. So we'll see what happens there. And one more thing that I've got to bring up to you, and in Thoroughbred Racing, there's a Breeders' Cup hat auction. That's running through January 15th. It's a group called After the Finish Line. It's their 7th annual charity auction of Breeders' Cup hats. It kicked off on January 8th. It goes for 1 week. And they're hats, okay, from the Breeders' Cup, which is, of course...
That's so much fun.
Yeah. The 115 iconic purple Breeders' Cup hats from the 2022 World Championship at Keeneland are going out for auction. So now, because they're limited numbers, I think they probably will be successful. But that seems like something that if you're an amateur collector and you're a horse racing fan, it might be something that you could get in on early.
Yeah, and you know what? There again, what did we? I said earlier. Do you remember when things were affordable? Well, this might be one of those items you might be able to get for some of these, and it's a good cause. It's for, you know, for charity, and it's for the what is it? It's a foundation. So there's and you said there's 115. So I'm looking at some of them. They're pretty much just baseball, caps and. But you know, for charity, I can imagine that it's gonna it should do well. I am not really much of a horse race fan. I know you guys like horses, and you follow some. Some race, you know, some horses, but I know over the past 5 or 6 years, horse racing on television has also picked up. So I mean, it's almost now that the owners have become as famous as the horses. So it'll be interesting to see whose hat is up for auction and who brings the highest price.
All right. Now, finally, Sotheby's in London, January 9th through 19th, has an auction that has everything from modern art to prehistoric fossils. And this auction runs from the 9th to the 19th. There's a large egg that was found in Iceland in 1844 that is on display to be auctioned off. Also, a German-painted papier-mâché diagnostic model pig. It's a cutout that shows you the inside of a pig. Prosthetic hand-blown eyes. I mean, it's got some weird stuff, but then it also has a fossil of like a sea lily that is almost 180 million years old. I mean,
it's beautiful if you look at it. Yeah. It's a piece of art in itself.
Talk about a weird range of things, though.
Well, it's like a scratch and dent sale at Sotheby's. The pig is very interesting. We have a pig weather vane. It looks like this is about the same size, but it doesn't show the insides of the pig. But the fact that it has glass eyes, I mean, that's a little freaky, I got to admit. but, you know, when Tim and I, we've sold a number of antique doll collections, and the eyes were always the most important thing of the head of a doll, because sometimes they were stationary, sometimes they opened and closed, but they're all handmade, and they come in all kinds of colors, and they use them not just in dolls, but they use them in statues, they use them in any kind of like models of things. But it's anytime you see one with glass eyes, it's kind of freaky. They look a little weird, the glass eye for toys, collectibles. They've had them for many, 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 many years. There's entire collection of Santos. That they're carved, and that one thing that the idea was to make them look real was to put in to have glass eyes so they looked alive. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of these glass eyes that are not in a head. It is really freaky. It's to see them setting, because we have a friend who passed away, and she was did restorations on these sort of animal, these things with glass eyes. And she had, when you go to her house, on her work table, she'd have a case that had like 50 eyes in it, which is just really freaky. So, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But there's so many other cool things in the collection that. And the thing is, I'm not sure if it's, I know it's not a one-man collection. It's that's why I say I think it's kind of like, let's go down to the basement and pull some stuff up and throw a sale together.
Well, the one thing that's interesting is that they've got Emma Hawkins, a natural world part of the display there. The headline there is Lady Cuss Great Auk Egg, which is a specimen from a penguin-like flightless bird that went extinct in the 19th century. And they think that this lot will bring anywhere from 45,000 to about 75,000 pounds.
You know, I have to be honest with you. I think that's a little low, because, you know, we've talked about some of these prehistoric things, and we just cannot believe the prices that they're getting. And this... this particular piece, and that, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out what they used for comparables for this. I'm sure something these similar have come up for auction. But, you know, it's only a pre-auction estimate. It can just go crazy. It could go whatever. It could go less or more. We won't know. But I don't know. This is so unusual. I have a feeling that this could be a surprise.
You're right, because the egg has been copied off by a bunch of people, and the replicas of that egg go out for auction. Just the replicas that people made replicas of it, but this is the actual egg itself. And you're right. I think that it's way low. I think that somebody's going to probably go to 200,000-300,000 pounds for, I would think.
It'll be interesting to see. I agree with you there. I think I'm going to say it's going to go for over 100,000 US. That's what I'm thinking. So we'll have to see. But I'm going to follow this sale also, because there are some other antiquity things that are kind of fun and funky. And I think one of the most beautiful ones is the one that you pointed out, the fossil of the sea lily. That truly is
amazing. It really is.
It really is. It's like perfect and absolute. The entire anatomy of the plant is just there. And to be captured like that for how many billion, like a billion years or so, 180 million years, it just boggles my mind.
All right. Tim, always great to greet. Tim, listen to me. Greg, it's always great to speak to you guys. We'll have Tim back next week, and we'll speak to you then.
Maybe. I don't know. I might not see him now until next Christmas. Okay. It seems like he's traveling now more than ever.
All right. Have a good week, though.
Hey, you too.
Take care.
Bye.
Greg Schramm, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Nack, phrase this here on Robin Hood Radio.